Amen. All right. Well, today I want to preach about what the Bible teaches on suicide, Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for all these people who would gather together on a Sunday morning. And Lord, we just, this subject is not exactly super positive. And Lord, but I just, it's on my heart to preach it. And Lord, I believe you put that burden on me. And I pray that you just help me as I preach these two sermons today. I pray that you'd help me to be loving at the same time, but also just teach emphatically what the Bible says and let the chips fall where they may. And Lord, just I just pray for all those people that maybe have it in their heart that they might want to do something like this. I pray that you'd help, that this sermon would help people, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, the reason why I'm teaching this, when I was down in Sacramento, I heard one of my friends, I got the message that one of my friends had hung himself on Valentine's Day. And he was an old friend of mine that I went to high school with, and I knew him really well. We hung out a lot. We weren't exactly positive influences on each other back in those days, but I still loved the guy, and, you know, I felt really bad. So he had a special needs child that he left at home, you know, by himself. And his mother, who had dementia, left his mother there and then went out and hung himself while they were in the house by themselves. And people just don't understand how hurtful suicide can be. People don't understand, you know, that they're being super selfish when they do something like that. And like the scars that it leaves on the family's lives for years and years to come are tremendous. And it's just I understand people get depressed. I understand people get upset. But you know, you got to think about more people than just yourself and how you're feeling. You got to think about how other people are going to feel, how it's going to affect other people's lives. I had a friend a couple years ago who hung himself also, and I think it was due to being hooked on painkillers and things like that. Couldn't get any more of what he needed, and he just decided to end his life. You know, drugs, people want to mock us as being teetotaling Baptists. But I'll tell you what, drugs and alcohol can wind you down that road to suicide. And, you know, so today I just want to teach, first of all, what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the seven people in the scriptures that killed themselves. So there's seven people in the scriptures that killed themselves, and I'm just going to go through them, each story. And I am going to preach a second sermon on this. I felt like there was more that I wanted to say, and I didn't want to keep you here for like 2 hours this morning. So I'm just going to preach the second part of it. And look, there's going to be some light in these sermons, okay? It's not just going to be all dark. But it is a dark subject. It's something that we need to understand. It's something, you know, maybe your family member is going through some depression. You can use a sermon like this to try to help your family. And the truths in the Bible that talk about suicide. And, you know, sometimes people... I'll just save that for the second sermon. Okay, so let's look at the first one, and that's why I chose Judges chapter 16 to be the first to be the scriptures that we read this morning, because this is a story where Samson kills himself. You know, so let's look at Judges chapter 16 verse 25 where we're at in our scriptures, and we'll look at Samson when he killed himself. So look at verse 25. It says, "And it came to pass when their hearts were merry that they said, call for Samson." This is after they've captured him. We just read the scriptures. "Call for Samson that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars." So all these Philistine lords are in this building, and they're making fun of Samson, and they're making him do sport. He's like a jester now. You know, his eyes are poked out. He's lost everything. He's lost his strength. His hair was chopped off by, you know, Delilah fooled him. He fell in love with the wrong woman. Hey, that's the story of Samson is a pretty, it's a dark story, because Samson, you know, had all this great strength, and, you know, he was saved, but this is an example of a saved person that lives a bad life. But look at where it says in verse 26, it says, "And Samson said to the lad that he led him by the hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women. And he beheld while Samson, that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord, And he said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And then the brethren and all, then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the burying place of Manoah his father, and he judged Israel 20 years. So this is the first example, and obviously I believe Samson was saved, okay? And I'm going to prove that later on in the sermon that he was saved. But people will take it, people think that suicide, anybody that commits suicide is going straight to hell no matter what. All right, and that's just not true. I'm going to prove that in this sermon also. Now, again, it's still a bad thing to do. It's still a wicked sin to kill yourself. But, you know, there are people that are saved that do kill themselves. You know, and that doesn't make it right. But you know what? They're still going to heaven. You know, and the Catholic Church, anytime I'm out soul winning, I actually, the chief examples I use of people that have killed themselves and are saved is Samson and King Saul. And so you can prove it very easily from the Bible and hopefully turn someone's mind around. But I got a kid saved yesterday. Me and Pastor Jones were out slaying giants yesterday, going soul winning, and we just had a great time. But we went to this house, and I don't think the mother and the dad were saved, but she happened to be from the same city that Pastor Jones was from, Port Orchard. And she lived in Bremerton, and she lived, where did you used to live, Justin? Puyallup. Yeah, she lived in Puyallup for 12 years. And so we got a little, you know, bond going on there. And then she ended up inviting us into her house and letting us preach the gospel to all of her kids, and all of her kids got saved. So we had four kids saved, and a pit bull was sitting next to us the whole time. He was guarding us. He was, like most people, if they saw this pit bull, they'd be terrified, but he was really nice. He didn't try to eat us or anything like that. He didn't go outside and then run back in and try to bite one more person. He was actually nice. So amongst the pit bull and everything, we got these families saved, and I told him about how my friend had killed himself, and the reason why I'm saying this is because I always bring this up in my soul winning. I don't go to the bank robbery story. I don't go to if you did this or that. I go right to suicide every time. And the reason why I do is because most people, you know, would think, well, some of these sins would be forgivable. But suicide, the Catholic Church teaches that if you commit suicide, it's a mortal sin, and that there's no salvation if you kill yourself. That you're going to die and you're going to go straight to hell. Now, if you're unsaved, you are going to die and go straight to hell. If you're a reprobate, you're going to die and go straight to hell. But if you're saved, you're not going to go to hell. You're going to go to heaven. But I use suicide as a way to gauge where they're at. You know, do they really believe in eternal security? Or do they think if they kill themselves, they'd go to hell? And so then I would use, if they say, well, you go to hell. And most people answer hell, don't they? I mean, if you ask someone that question, don't they say they go to hell? But the kid that I was talking to yesterday, he said, I go to heaven. I said, I can't believe you got that on the first try. He was like low-hanging fruit. He was like 15 years old. He had just had a surgery done on his foot. Their child was special needs. He was 2 years old, and he was born blind in one eye. And, you know, they just had a lot of health problems with him. And, you know, I just think the Lord just led us straight to that place. And, you know, I prayed with them and for their child. And it was great. It was a great day. And hopefully the parents come and get saved at some point. But Pastor Jones, they broke the record for salvations in a month there. They broke the record for salvations in a week. And they broke the record for salvations in a day yesterday with 9. So we had a great day there. Had a great time preaching and hanging out with our old friends. But anyway, moving on with the sermon here. So Samson killed himself. You know, he called upon the name of the Lord and asked him for his strength back, didn't he? Yep. But what did he do with that strength? He actually used it to kill himself. But did he have to kill himself? No. I don't think he had to kill himself. There's another way that he, you know, He could have done something different. And so we don't, just because everything is bad and things are going wrong, it doesn't mean that killing yourself is the answer to that. Okay? And God's able to do things that, you know, obviously we see, you know, Samson felt the power of God. I mean, he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. Okay? And that was not an easy feat. When he was done, he was about ready to die because he was so thirsty. But Samson had seen the power of God. So do you think that Samson could have done something alternatively? Of course, because God doesn't want us to kill ourselves. So what Samson did, you know, God gave, granted his request and probably knew that he was going to kill himself. But that was still the choice that Samson made. He didn't have to make that choice. You know, when our back's against the wall, we don't have to make the wrong choice. We can still make the right choice and just say, hey, you know what? God's going to help me in this situation. Amen. So look at number two example. We have King Saul. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 31. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse number 2. 1 Samuel chapter 31, verse number 2. The Bible says, and the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons. This is after he went and saw the witch at Endor, and God is going to kill him for what he did. Okay? It says, and the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua and Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto the armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. So here we see the second suicide in the Bible, where Saul took, you know, the armor bearer was afraid to kill Saul. He was sore afraid, the Bible says. And so Saul just took the sword and fell on it and killed himself. Okay? Now Saul was the Lord's anointed. He was the king of Israel, but God had rejected him from being the king. And this is a direct punishment for the sins and the wickedness that he did. Now later on in the sermon, I'm going to come back to this, but this is the second example of someone that killed themselves and was saved. So I'll prove to you later on in the sermon that Saul was absolutely saved. And there's no doubt in my mind at all that Saul was saved. But people, you know, these people that believe you can lose your salvation, they're going to say, well, no, he wasn't saved. You know, and no, Samson was not saved. But, you know, you could prove to them from the Bible that they were saved. And these are great scriptures. There's great scriptures to back up the fact that you could commit suicide and be saved, all right? Number three, we have in the next verse down, we have the third person that committed suicide. The Bible was Saul's armor bearer. He doesn't even have a name. But it says in verse 5, it says, and when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul's armor bearer, you know, I don't know if he was afraid because he was the last man standing and they probably were going to come and do the same things that Saul was afraid of them doing to him. And so he's like, oh, well, if I can't beat him, join him, you know. So he kills himself. So that's number three. Number four is questionable whether he's saved or not. I think he probably was saved, but I'm not 100% sure about that. But number four this morning, of the fourth person that killed himself, was Ahithophel. Now, Ahithophel was David's counselor, and the Bible says that his counsel was like you were going to the oracles of God. It's like you were going to the Bible itself to get counsel. So it's hard for me to imagine that Ahithophel was not saved if his counsel was like going to the Bible. That's some pretty good counsel. And even the counsel that he gave once he betrayed King David was the right counsel to do what he was planning on doing, to take the kingdom for himself. If he would have followed Ahithophel's advice, then he would have taken the kingdom away. But obviously God had other plans, and David prayed that the counsel of Ahithophel would fail, and it did. But look at what Ahithophel, what happens to him. 2 Samuel, did I tell you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 17? 2 Samuel chapter 17, sorry about that. But we see where Ahithophel kills himself. Now, Ahithophel did betray David, and actually, if you really study into it, Ahithophel has a lot of similarities between Judas. You know, I don't have time to go into that part of it right now. Maybe sometime when I preach another sermon about Judas. then I'll show you the likenesses between him and Ahithophel. But anyway, look at verse 23. It says, "And when Ahithophel saw that the counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." So Ahithophel killed himself, and it says because his counsel was not followed. Because guess what? If he knows if that counsel would have been followed, then you know he would have ended up on the winning side. But see, he was friends with David, and he betrayed him. He betrayed his trust. Now there's links also back to him knowing Uriah the Hittite and Bathsheba related to them. And so, I know that Pastor Menez kind of laid it out one time that he was probably just mad and was seeking revenge against David because of the fact that David killed Uriah the Hittite and took Bathsheba for his wife. But again, I don't have time to get fully into that today. That's not in the scope of the sermon this morning. But so Ahithophel's the fourth person to kill himself. Now, Zimri is the fifth. Let's look at 1 Kings chapter 16, verse number 8. 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse number 8. Now Zimri, he became king because he conspired to kill the king that was there at the time. Now look at verse number 8, 1 Kings 16. It says, "In the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, began Elah, the son of Baasha, to reign over Israel in Tirzah 2 years. And his servant Zimri, captain of half his chariots, conspired against him. And he was in Tirzah, drinking himself drunk in the house of Arza, steward of the house of Tirzah. And Zimri went in and smote him and killed him in the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned in his stead." So this guy's a little weasel. And I don't think this guy's saved. So, and I'll show you why here in just a minute. In verse 11, it says, "And it came to pass when he began to reign, as soon as he sat on the throne, that he slew all the house of Baasha, and left him not one that pisseth against the wall, neither of his kinsfolks, nor of his friends. Thus did Zimri destroy all the house of Baasha according to the word of the Lord, which he spake against Baasha by Jehu the prophet. For all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, by which they sinned, and by which they made Israel to sin in provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their vanities. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? In the 27th year of Asa, king of Judah, did Zimri reign 7 days in Tirzah." So he was only king for 7 days. And, you know, because he's a weasel. But anyway, "and the people were encamped against Gibbethon, which belongeth to the Philistines. And the people that were encamped heard say, Zimri hath conspired and hath slain the king. Wherefore all Israel made Omri the captain of the host, king over Israel, that day in the camp. And Omri went up from Gibbethon, and all Israel with him, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came to pass, when Zimri saw that the city was taken, that he went into the palace of the king's house and burnt the king's house over him with fire and died." So he burned himself to death in the king's house, and that's how he killed himself. That's a pretty bad way to go, isn't it? That's like my worst fear, is burning to death or drowning. And being eaten by sharks at the same time. But anyway, those are my fears. So anyway, so it says for this, so let's see, he burned himself with fire, he died, and his sins which he sinned in doing evil in the sight of the Lord, and walking in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin which he did to make Israel to sin. So why do I not think he's saved? Well, it says he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And usually when it says that person's not saved. And furthermore, it says, "in walking in the way of Jeroboam." And of course, we know that Jeroboam was not saved either. And it says, "in the sin which he did make Israel to sin." It says, "Now the rest of the acts of Zimri and his treason that he wrought, are they not written in the book of Chronicles of the kings of Israel?" So that's number 5. Zimri killed himself, and he was not saved. Number 6, we have Judas. Now turn to Matthew chapter 27, verse number 5. And of course, we all know the story of Judas Iscariot, unless it's your first day in church. Then you should know about Judas. But let's look at Matthew chapter 27, verse number 5. The Bible says, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 5, it says, "And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." So Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss. He took the 30 pieces of silver and he tried to go give him back. He tried to repent of his sins, but you know, you don't get saved by repenting of your sins. And plus, he was already an unsaved devil. And so he went and hanged himself. So that's number six of the people that killed themselves. Now, there's a seventh. Now, the seventh has kind of got a little caveat to it. He didn't actually kill himself physically. He didn't physically fall on a sword or burn himself up or anything like that or hang himself. He did an assisted suicide. So he had somebody else kill him. All right. Let's look at Judges chapter 9, verse 50. We have the story of Abimelech. Now, Abimelech was a really wicked person. He was one of the sons of Gideon. And he killed his 70 other brothers that were born from Gideon. He killed all of his brothers. So I think he killed them all except for one, right? And then, but he actually made himself king. And he was a really wicked person, but he was tough. And he was, you know, a battle-hardened guy. But look at Judges chapter 9, verse 50. It says, "Then went Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women and they of the city and shut it to them and gat them up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head and all to break his skull." So this woman cast a piece of rock down and it hits him in the head and breaks his skull. But it doesn't kill him. And it says, "Then he called hastily to the young man, his armor bearer, and said unto him, Draw thy sword and slay me, that men say not of me, a woman slew him, and his young man thrust him through, and he died." So here you have the first assisted suicide in the Bible. So everything, there's no new thing under the sun. People have been doing assisted suicides for thousands of years. But this man was a wicked man also, and I believe he was definitely not saved. And he killed himself by ordering his armor bearer to do it for him. Now, the funny part of the story, though, is that people still said of him that a woman killed him. But anyway, that was the assisted suicide, so it's kind of a caveat there. But so that was all kind of introduction, just to kind of go through the people that have died in the Bible by suicide, all right? And so I just have two more points for the first sermon. And so number one, the first point is suicide is sin. And obviously we know that, but let's look at the scriptures to back it up, all right? Suicide is sin. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Exodus 20, verse number 13. See what the Bible says about killing, murder. Exodus 20, verse 13 says, "Thou shalt not kill." And so that's not just talking about, you know, obviously in battle you would kill somebody. That's not murder. But this killing is talking about murder. And I'll prove that to you. Turn to Matthew chapter 19, verse 18. And Jesus actually explains to us. See, the New Testament's going to give light on the Old Testament every time. So Jesus explains to us what this type of killing is talking about. Matthew chapter 19, verse 18, "He said unto him, Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness." So Jesus is saying, you know, one of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt do no murder. So what does Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 mean? It says thou shalt not do no murder. So we're not supposed to murder people, right? That's pretty obvious. I'm not going to have a raise of hands of people that have killed people in here because I just don't want to know. I don't want to have to turn you into the police at the end of the sermon. But so anyway, so if you kill yourself, you're still committing murder. All right? So it's not just, well, it's my body, my choice. Right? That's not what that means. So, you know, obviously the abortion people would say, oh, it's my body, my choice. No, it's actually an infant's body. It's the baby's body. Amen. The baby's body is just inside your body. Yep. But, you know, women would say, well, it's my body, my choice. Well, that's a living being inside of you. Yep. It's another human being. God, you know, creates life in the womb the moment conception happens. All right. That which is conceived in thy womb is of the Holy Ghost is what is what was told to Mary, right? So once you conceive, then you are with child, and that means that's another human being inside your womb. Yep. And you know what? It's wicked as hell today, this abortion holocaust that's going on. And I'll kick that dog while I walk past it every single time because it's wicked. And I'm so sick of even all these Hollywood weirdos, you know, cheering for people like that lady that held up that trophy or whatever. And she was like, if I had to, you know, killed my first child, then I wouldn't be having this trophy. Well, you know, you just sacrificed your child on the altar of Molech and Baal so that you could get a trophy made of gold. It's pretty weird. It's a sick world we're living in. You know, it was actually kind of nice being in Boise. The streets were all clean. You know, there wasn't a bunch of trash and bums all over the place. It was actually pretty nice. You know, and then as soon as I flew back into Portland, they start seeing the cat-eared people, you know what I'm talking about, and the people with green hair and all the dykes and all that stuff. It's just like, ugh. Just wanted to puke. It's like, can Boise, like, be, like, transplanted to here? Or, I don't know. The streets of Boise. Man, it is conservative there. You know, they got their own challenges, of course. But man, I loved having seen clean streets and no bum hotels where trash is just left everywhere. You know, they move in one place and then all their filth is left behind them and some poor person has to come and clean that stuff up. It's disgusting. But anyway, I got off track of the sermon again. So, but it just makes me mad, obviously, and the mentality that people have that it's just okay to kill unborn children. So how about you kill yourself if you think the... You know, that's a point where I'd say just kill yourself if you think that, you know, killing children's fine, because it's wicked. You know, it's not supposed to be a form of birth control. So anyway, so number two this morning, suicide is forgivable. Suicide is forgivable. Now let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7. So we've established number one, suicide is sin. Like, you know, everybody knows that, of course. But, and Jesus actually said to do no murder. So killing yourself is committing murder against yourself. Now, I tell people that God will punish people for the sins that they commit. You know, you can be saved and still commit sin and still be saved, right? And then I tell people the immediate punishment for suicide of a saved person is that their life on earth is done. And it is a punishment. Because, you know, God put us here for a purpose, to fulfill His will. And so a saved person that just gives up and kills themselves is wicked. It's a wicked thing to do. And, you know, God had you here for a purpose. You know, it's not too late to turn the ship around. And even if it's plan Z, you know, you're still alive, you're still breathing, you're still saved, then God has a plan for your life here on this earth. Amen. And it's not right for you to take and kill the temple of the Lord, because our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and we're not supposed to defile it, we're not supposed to kill it, you know, we're not supposed to do all kinds of things with God's body. You know, He bought us with a price. Amen. And you know, we're supposed to fulfill the will of the Lord and not to treat His temple wickedly like that and to kill ourselves. So God has a purpose and a plan for us, and suicide is not part of that plan. All right, so but suicide is forgivable. But, you know, the Christian that commits suicide, their life is snuffed out at that point. Guess what? No more rewards, no more fulfilling of God's plan. Now, you still go to heaven, you're still one of the saints, but, you know, I'm sure that that's not a very good mark of a Christian to be in heaven and knowing that you committed suicide, right? Now, obviously, our sins are not going to be held against us when we're in heaven, but, you know, you could think, well, you know, you could have done more here on this earth. Instead, you just got selfish and decided to kill yourself. And it's not right. Suicide is forgivable, number two. You're in Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 7. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." And you know what? God is really rich in grace. Amen. He's super rich. He's the richest being ever. There's no other being that's more rich than God is, obviously. And God owns everything anyway. Everything that we have, we're just kind of borrowing really from Him. They're His resources that He created, right? So God just allows us to have riches like that. But His riches are grace. And that means that through His blood, we get the forgiveness of sins. Not just the sins that we committed before we got saved, but even all the sins that we'll ever commit till the dying day that we have on this earth. He's forgiven them all. So Is suicide a forgivable sin? Absolutely it is. But, you know, just like with that kid I was talking to, I told him about the suicide. The reason I was, when I was giving him the gospel, I brought up that part about suicide. I said, don't ever commit suicide. I said, it hurts your family. It's wicked. But for the purpose of giving him the gospel, I talked to him about that. So, you know, look, we're not supposed to commit suicide. God doesn't want us to do that. And I give that caveat with people when I'm talking to them, because I don't want people to think that, oh yeah, it's just okay to kill yourself, and they're like really thinking about it. I make sure to just, hey, don't just bring that up flippantly and use that example without like telling people, hey, don't do that. It's wicked. It's wrong. I'm not for it at all. I'm just using it as an example to help you understand eternal security. But anyway, let's look at, turn a page and go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 5. The Bible says, even when we're dead in sin, or excuse me, look at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come we might show the exceeding riches of the grace of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So just breaking this down really quickly, it's grace that we're saved through. All right, and gracious means that you're getting something you don't deserve. We don't deserve the grace of God. We don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve by faith to be saved. But you know what? God made it that way for us because we can't save ourselves. Amen. Nothing we can do can save ourselves. And so Christ had to do all the heavy lifting for us. He had to die on the cross. He had to get buried in the grave. He had to rise from the dead. And we can't do that. Amen. We got our own sins that we have to die for, but Christ was sinless. And so when he died for us, he was the propitiation for all of our sins. Amen. Amen. And so by grace, we're saved through faith. We don't deserve that grace. That grace is something we don't deserve. But, you know, through faith, we get that grace. And faith is not works. Faith is faith. Faith is things, you know, we can't see Christ, but yet we believe him. That's faith. Yep. It's believing in invisible things that we haven't seen, yep. Right? It says, and not of yourselves, it's through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. I mean, there's no more clear verses in the Bible that teach that you can't get there by works. Yep. And so you also can't get there, you know, by keeping the commandments. And so If one of those commandments is thou shalt not kill, well, I've never killed anybody, you know, you still can't get there because you have sinned in other areas of your life. But it says, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's pretty clear, isn't it? It's not of works. It's not the good things you do. It's lest any man should boast, because God doesn't want you down here boasting and bragging about how good you are and how much you've done since Jesus saved you. He doesn't want us bragging about that stuff. He wants us to brag the fact that he did everything for us, yeah, and that through his grace, by faith, we can be saved. Amen. So we've established it's not of works. Our forgiveness of sins is through the blood of Christ and the atoning work that he did. But, you know, look at verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So once we're saved, Christ has created us to good works. Not to commit suicide, not to end our lives early. But you know what? Some people do ruin their lives. Some people do mess up. They marry the wrong person, or they get divorced, or their wife cheats on them, or whatever else happens in their life, or you messed up your life through adultery. Whatever it is, you know, you still have a plan. God still has a plan for your life. Unless he kills you, then guess what? He still wants you on this planet for a reason. Amen. All right? And so that means that he says that he's created us unto good works. He still wants us to keep working. Yep. Whether you've messed your life up or not, he still wants us to keep working. It says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So look, as long as we're breathing air, as long as you're able to do something for the Lord, then you should never even consider committing suicide. Because look, you're ultimately, you know, Everybody wants to feel sorry for themselves when they're depressed. And look, I understand depression is real. Yeah. It really does happen. I get that people get to the point where they feel like killing themselves is the only option. But you know what? It's not. And in the second sermon, I have some things that I wanted to bring up. So I don't want to bring this up yet. But look, how do I know suicide is forgivable? Because we read the story about Samson. And Samson was saved. Well, how do I know Samson was saved? How do you prove to the in the Bible how Samson was saved? Well, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, and I'll show you. I mean, just the fact that there's a whole book written about Samson, or a whole few chapters in Judges written about Samson, that should let you know that Samson was saved. Okay? But, you know, and the fact that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him so many times, and that he called upon the name of the Lord. You know, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, Samson did it. What did he do right before he killed himself? He called upon the name of the Lord. And what? God heard his prayer. So I believe that Samson absolutely was saved. But how do we prove it? Well, look at Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So skip down to verse 11:32. So this is called the Hall of Faith, the faith chapter in the Bible. All right. So it's going to list a bunch of people and say, by faith, Abraham did this. By faith, Sarah did that. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. It just over and over repeats this, by faith. Okay. Faith is not works, is it? No, we just established that too. So these people were full of faith. They had faith. They believed. They were saved. By grace are you saved through faith. All right? So look at verse 32. It says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of who? Samson. Yep. Samson. It's the Hall of Faith chapter. Mm-hmm. Samson had faith. Yep. That's what I'm trying to show you here. Amen. And Samson killed himself. And so where is Samson right now? Because all you have to do to be saved is have faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. And so Samson, how do you prove that Samson was saved to somebody at the door? Well, you take him to Hebrews 11:32 after showing them that Samson killed himself. Okay? In Judges chapter 16. So that's how you prove it right there, folks. You know, and let me read a little more. It says, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets. So Samuel was full of faith too. So just keep that in your memory banks for now. Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Not the illegal aliens, all right? Not the space aliens. Just talking about people that... I think it's talking about the Philistines is really... and other armies that Israel had to try to defeat. But turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Look, Samson put a whooping on the Philistines quite a few times, didn't he? And so did King David. So, anyway, so, you know, it's through faith that these things happen. Samson's named among these people that had faith. So why do I think he's saved? Because Samson had faith. So Samson believed, right? Now, how do I prove that King Saul was saved? Well, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9. I'll show you. There's a couple different ways. And Saul is actually the longer version of telling someone. I'd go to Samson first because I think it's a faster way of telling someone, explaining to them. But look, if someone's already got your ear, you can explain both these stories to them and make sure they fully understand about eternal security, about what the Bible says about suicide. So look at 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9. It says, it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. So Samuel, when he had met Saul, the Bible says that God gave Saul another heart. What is that talking about? Well, I believe that's talking what we get another heart too. That heart is circumcised. And it's the circumcision of the heart that God looks at. And I believe that God gave him another heart. And that it's saying that he was saved that day. Yep. And all those signs came to pass that day. Now look what happens after he gets saved. And when he came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he prophesied among them. So Saul turned into an insta-preacher right then and there. God gave him another heart. The Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. He preached among the prophets. And it says, and it came to pass that when all, it came to pass when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets. Then the people said one to another, what is this that has come upon the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same answered and said, but who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb, is Saul also among the prophets? Why do I think Saul was saved? Well, the Bible says that God gave him a new heart, and that when he met a company of prophets, he started preaching with them. And the Spirit of God came upon him. So he wasn't saved? You know, these people that just think you can lose your salvation, this is the foolishness that they don't understand this, because they're full of foolishness. Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 28. And then here's some more proof as to why I believe he was saved. Obviously, I think that just proves it right then and there. But also, you know, if you're taking notes about this, these are good scriptures to help you in the battle against these people that think you can lose your salvation. So look at 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 16. It says, then said Samuel, wherefore dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord has departed from thee and has become thine enemy? So Saul went to see the witch at Endor. So we started off the first time when I told you how he killed himself. Well, that previous chapter is when he goes to the witch at Endor and seeks after a familiar spirit instead of seeking after God, because God quit speaking to him. God was angry with him. And it says, and so he goes and seeks this witch, and Samuel actually appears before him and is telling him what's up, right? It says, and the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. The Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David. Because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Now, remember when I showed you and told you to put it in your memory bank about Samuel? Well, Samuel's mentioned among those people in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, it says, on the morrow, this is Samuel talking to Saul, tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Samuel was dead at this time, so where was Samuel? Samuel was in heaven. All right, so this proves that obviously Samuel was saved. This proves that Saul was saved, because where was he going to be with? Where were his sons going to be with him? In the morrow, they're going to be with him, and Samuel's in heaven. All right, that proves it to me beyond the shadow of a doubt. It says the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. So, look, these are two instances where you can see that someone that killed himself in the Bible was saved. Yep. All right, and so it's obvious that the Catholics are a bunch of wicked false prophets, they're a bunch of liars, and they just want to trap people within a religious system, okay? God doesn't want to trap you within a religious system. I know a lot of people accuse God of that. God just wants the best for your life. Amen. And you know what? Killing yourself is not the best for you. It's not the best for your family. You know, even if you're all alone and you have no family members, you have no friends, and you have God as your Savior, don't ever even dream about killing yourself. It's Amen. Wicked. It's hey, stay within God's program. You know who wants you to kill yourself? The devil. Yeah. The devil wants you to kill yourself. Right. The devil is a murderer from the beginning, and he wants every single Christian to want to get to this point that Saul got to. He wants Christians to get to the point where Samson got to. He wants to get people to get to the point where Ahithophel got to. Now, Ahithophel, you know, he was a bad guy, but did he have to kill himself? No. He was still, I believe, still saved. But, you know, God gives us hope. And there is a hope for everybody, even if your life is going in the wrong direction. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse number 2. The Bible says, in hope. Of eternal life. It's something that we hope for. Hey, God wants us to still have hope in this life also. Amen. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Hey, look, your life might be rough here, And it might be tempting, you know, Paul said that, you know, I desire to be with Christ, but, you know, God left Paul here to do certain things, you know, to turn the world upside down for Christ, to make sure that the whole Gentile world heard the gospel, you know, and who had a reason to be depressed besides Paul? You know, Paul got beat down quite a few times. He endured some affliction and some punishment, but you know what? He kept going. Even when he said, everyone's left me. Everyone's forsaken me. It's just me here, by myself, in prison. And you know what? Paul didn't kill himself. Paul continued to run the race that he was meant to run and to finish his course. He said, I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And you know what? As a Christian, don't ever dream about committing suicide. Amen. It's not God's plan for you. Any thought that enters your mind in that way is not of God, it's of the devil.
Amen. That's right.
No matter whether you're getting bullied, no matter whether you think nobody likes you, no matter any of those problems. And look, you know what? Bullying is wicked too.
Amen.
Bullying is wicked too. And any, you know, there's kids that kill themselves today in schools. You know, part of the reason is public schools shouldn't exist. Amen. Part of the other reason is public schools teach you that you're come from a monkey, and you know that you're a monkey's or that you're an uncle's monkey or whatever, monkey's uncle. They try to teach us all this garbage, and you know that your life has no meaning. No wonder why kids are killing themselves in school, because they have no hope. But you know what? You kids in here, you do have hope. You're being raised in a Christian home. You should be thankful for that. You're not getting taught all that garbage. You don't have a bunch of people bullying you at school every day because of how tall you are, how short you are, how ugly you are, how fat you are, how skinny you are, or any of that other stuff.
Yeah.
It's wrong. It's wrong to bully people, period. Amen. And people are killing themselves because of it. You know why? Because they don't feel like they have any hope. And even people that might be saved, they still kill themselves. So look, it's a lie from the devil. He just wants us to kill ourselves. He wants us to commit suicide, but never, ever even come close to thinking about doing it. Because you know what? God, He has given us hope. We have hope of eternal life. And you know what? We also have the hope that in this life, we can turn things around and we do have a plan B. We do have a plan C. You know, as long as you're breathing air, God still has a plan for your life. Samson was blinded. God still used him one more time. He didn't plan on him killing himself. That was Samson's choice. But, you know, Samson still could have been blind and tough at the same time. You know, here, lead me to this guy so I can choke him out or whatever. I don't know. But turn to one more scripture here. Romans 5:20 and we'll end. Romans 5:20 says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so, look, even the worst sins that we've committed, grace still abounds over those worst sins. And look, some people have ruined their lives. Some people have made wrong choices. But don't use that as an excuse to go to the level that some people go to where they would commit suicide. Don't ever do it. And so the last verse here says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. We all have a hope in Jesus Christ, and we should never give up. Don't, you know, have you ever seen that picture where the frog is being eaten by the bird, and the frog has its hands around the bird's throat while he's trying to pull himself out of the bird's throat? Don't ever give up. That's a great poster. All right? Don't ever give up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the scriptures. They're so clear. Lord, I pray that anybody that's hurting, anybody that's ever thought about doing this sin of suicide, Lord, I pray that you just help them. Lord, get them through the depression, Lord. The Bible says that you've given us a sound mind, Lord, and not a spirit of fear. And I pray, Lord, that anybody that's ever thought about this, Lord, would just know that you love them, and Lord, that you never want this to be your will for their life. And Lord, we pray all these things. We pray that you bless everybody, and we pray you bless this soul winning today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.